You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Suckers!
I'm Kaylin Bell.
I'm Dean Bell.
And I'm Jared Haben.
An iHeartRadio podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to an all-new, very special episode of your favorite podcast. The name of that podcast is Suckers!
Woohoo!
My name is Dean, joined by Kaylin and Jared. As always, I don't even need to say it. Don't know why I always say it, but I always do. I also feel like I'm always the one introing this podcast, and I feel really guilty about that.
No,
like,
you shouldn't. You started this. You start it every week.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. You guys are my employees, basically. How is everybody? Jared, how are you? I know how Kaylin is, so I don't really care as much. Well, I care, but I know, so I don't need to care beyond that.
I'm gravy. I'm good. Just live in Rhode Island. My life, I'm concerned when we have a second kid, my life is just going to continue running into monotony. And it's like, actually, I was trying to talk with Ashley about that very subject the other day. And we didn't really get much into the conversation because obviously it just like devolved into sadness. Even though it's not sad, it's just, it's scary. It's great, obviously, as long as our kids are healthy are the most important thing. Everybody's safe. But like at the same time, yeah, I'm scared shitless and like very worried.
Which I think is
a very normal thing to, say when about to endeavor on having more kids.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Having two kids, it's, two against two.
It's just like, I can't believe we're going back into it. Holy shit, I can't believe there's just going to be another baby here.
It's so funny because you guys are expecting your second boy in what, 3 months, 4 months?
Five months? July 29th. So we got a while.
And my brother, whose baby was born right around the same time as Dawson was, is expecting his second girl in July as well. So you guys are on the same exact program. You have two boys and he's having two girls.
Yeah, I should really talk to him about that. Two girls. I'm curious how he feels about that. Is he sad?
He's pretty stoked. He would be stoked either way, but he's a good girl dad. I'm sure he probably would have wanted like kind of you guys, one girl, one boy. But, you're dealt the cards you're dealt, and I think he's stoked either way, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. All right, I have a question before I forget it. When this podcast was loading, I was just brainstorming genius ideas, and this is one of them. Jared, if you could go on any game show, what game show would it be?
You built this up to be the most profound question.
What a letdown. That's the question that you were talking about before we went on air.
Because when my laptop had to
restart, the genius of Dini Babies,
I had the internal like Jeopardy monologue that's do. I don't want to do it because of copyright infringement or whatever. But I was like, I think Jared would probably do pretty good on Jeopardy.
That's the sweetest thing. But I watch Jeopardy a lot. I'd say I get probably about 30% of the questions correct, if that. I'd say the game show I would like to go on most is probably, the first one that comes to mind is Price is Right, because I feel like I would have, just like anybody else, at least a decent opportunity to win. because whenever I watch The Price is Right, I'm always playing the game along with them, especially in the final.
It's harder than you think. Let me tell you.
The what?
It's harder than you think.
I believe it. Quick sidebar. One of my best friends.
Who officiated her wedding, Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, Jackson. You met Jackson. That's right. He was a big Price is Right fan. He's been trying to get on for years. He eventually gets on, but doesn't get called down. So they invite him back. And then Kaylin and I go with him as their guests. So there's four of us, him and his girlfriend. And he gets called. He's the first person down. So he like does the first showcase. And
I remember this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I saw you cheerleading.
Oh, gotcha. I wasn't sure if I had talked about it. But he was up there the whole time, never got on stage. And he like practiced. He was going through his entire list of like, how much does laundry detergent cost? All that stuff. And he didn't even make it up.
No. He looked to us. He's like, what is the price of this? It was like some weird steam shower. And we were like, go up. And we let him astray.
No. Well, so that's the thing too, is I got like two in a row, like almost spot on. And then he would look at us and then you guys would point at me and I'd be like 900. And then they'd say the price and it'd be like 350.
And it turns out the guy next to him, cause it's like in a row. And so Jackson was third. The next guy was fourth. He had the funniest name. And it's like Price is Right rules. So somehow the fourth guy screwed him over.
Yeah. Cause he just did a dollar more than whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he ended up winning the grand showcase. But that all being said, I do see where you're coming from, Jared. It's kind of the same way when I play but when I watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and it's like, it's so obvious it's B and you're like yelling at the screen. But I can only imagine how much more stressful it has to be when you're up there.
Stressful, and you can get screwed over so easily. Like if you have the right answer, the guy next to you can just steal that answer and add a dollar to it.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're the second to last one, that's why you have to be the last one. Because if you're the second to last, you bid $1,500 and then the next person's like $1,501. You're like, well, that sucks. Yeah. Unless it's $1,599, I'm screwed.
So Price is Right, huh? That's an interesting answer. I wouldn't have expected that from you.
Well, the reason I say that is because, I mean, all these other game shows, I would find more difficult. Not to say the Price is Right isn't difficult, of course it is, but you know, when I'm on, if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or Jeopardy, or you know what, Wheel of Fortune, that's my answer. Wheel of Fortune, that's the one right there.
The two games that require the least amount of skill.
100%, because it would be I would have the best opportunity to win, because I just don't think I'm smart enough to, one, I'm definitely not smart enough to go on Jeopardy, and secondly, I don't think smart enough to win that much money on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Because I'm sure we've all played while watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And once we get to like the, whatever it is, $5,000 or $10,000 question, I'm probably out of lifelines. I don't know the answer. So I don't know.
What about you smarter than a fifth grader?
I've actually never really seen that.
Yeah, same.
Oh, I watched it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope I'm smarter than a fifth grader, but also at the same time, like, for example, one of my employees at Audrey's, her daughter she's 7 or 8, so I don't know what that is. Third grade?
Oh, yeah, third grade.
But, like, she was telling me about how they teach math now, and they teach math so differently now than they did when we were in school that if I was asked questions that they asked third graders, I'm not sure if I would be able to get the answer correct, judging just based on how they're teaching the kids.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough too, being a parent of those kids, because you were taught one way at like long division, for instance, if they have a new method for long division and they're teaching them how to do long division in school one way, but you know how to do it a different way. And then they come home and ask for help on their homework and you're showing them a completely different method. Even if the answer is the same, it could only just like muddy the waters a little bit, I would imagine.
Yeah. Also back to Jeopardy. I think they should do a Jeopardy season, or just one episode where it's all reality TV contestants, the most obscure you can find. I think it would be hilarious.
I'm pretty sure, because I'm kind of the same vein as Jared. I like Jeopardy. I like watching it. I don't think I'm smart enough, but when we watch it together, I get like half the questions.
I would
say
95%.
Okay, 95%. I'll definitely.
That is such bullshit.
I'll take
Kaylin,
it.
Kaylin, I love you so 75. Much. There is no 75. Way no, on this earth or
so
any
good.
Other earth.
He is good. So good.
He gets, good.
If he got 95% of the, he would be better than Ken
75.
Jennings.
75.
I'll take it.
There's no way he gets 75.
Don't question her, Jared. She's exactly right. 75 to 95% of the time, I get it right every
there
single time.
There is no way that Dean gets 75% of the questions correct while watching Jeopardy.
He is very smart.
Hey, man, what can I say? I'm a real good Jeopardizer. I think what we should do, all three of us.
No, I suck at
Jeopardy. No. You're good at certain categories, for sure. I maybe even bring Ashley on, so it could be like an actual panel of four Jeopardy. No, it is three Jeopardy contestants, so maybe it would be perfect with just us three. We should have Easton be the Alex Trebek, one special episode, the Jeopardy episode, where he's the host of the show. We're the contestants playing his game, and we'll see who wins.
I would love nothing more.
Just a little bonus episode, a little Jeopardy bonus episode. I don't know if there shouldn't be any like copyright laws against that, but I mean, I agree. I don't think 75% is right. I love the fact that you think that I'm that smart.
Wait, that's crazy. Cause you do answer most of them.
Yeah. I'll like answer it and then I'll kind of know I'm wrong. And so I'll maybe like ask you a question to distract you to not see what the actual answer is. Okay. But it really just comes down to like answering with some confidence.
Okay.
But Jeopardy would be a lot of fun. I do think though, like I would stand zero chance against a real Jeopardy contestant, like those really intellectual people that play Jeopardy. But I think
some
that
of them
I could,
are really bad.
I think I could hold my own if it was just like Bachelor contestants or a reality contestant.
Wouldn't that be so fun? And it could, it's such an older generation that watches Jeopardy. That's a way to get the younger ones in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What type of Jeopardy are we playing? Are we playing real Jeopardy with reality TV stars, or are we playing a watered down version where we might be able to get some correct?
I think if the standard questions are like, let's say, collegiate level, we'd have to dumb it down to high school level or something like that. You know, just to make it, you don't want to go 0 for, or you don't want to go 1 for 20. You want to at least go like 5 for 20 or 10 for 20. You want to make it a
competition. I also wouldn't want to watch a TV show where it's like Ken Jennings asks a question and then it just shows the three panels. You know how like that, it's that awkward 4 seconds of silence where nobody buzzes in. That would be the entire show.
True.
All right. Well, we're going to do that. Easton said he's down to be the host for us. So I think we just need to figure out how we're going to organize that.
We're going to do that. And I'm going to record Dean this week watching. And just check myself, really.
And if there's cuts, don't worry about the cuts.
Obviously.
And if it's a rerun, don't worry about that if it's a rerun either. But yeah, that's what we're going to do. I have another idea that I wanted to just maybe enact real quick. One thing that struck me, we all know what we're suckers for. Traveling. Pop culture.
Books.
Daddying.
Daddy.
I want to know what the man behind the scenes is a sucker for. We all follow him on Instagram. We all know a little bit about him. We all know he's a little freaky in the city a little sometimes. But I want to know what he truly considers himself a sucker for. So Easton, if you don't mind, just pop it on here real quick and enlightening us.
Hi, Dean. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm a sucker for a lot of things.
I know you are, but you got to pick one.
One man.
Let's run through them real quick. We got movies. We've got cartoon characters. We've got Cheesecake Factory. We've got there's so many more, but I can't think. What do you think?
You know, I mean, I think if I had to pick one, I'm a sucker for theme parks. I love themed entertainment. And I think under that banner falls weird restaurants, tourist traps, anything that has a bizarre original character or a weird song, I love that stuff. I truly do. Art that is created solely to make money is what I love. Like, I love songs that are made just for movies. Like Kokomo by the Beach Boys was made for Cocktail, starring Tom Cruise. Oh, I didn't know that. I love but like theme parks are something that I'm very, very passionate about. So if I had to pick one. Themed entertainment. That's what I'm a sucker for.
I want you to have your own segment once a week. I want to hear about the obscure things that you're a sucker for. And you just, because the thing with you too is you can go into such greater detail than any of us could about the things that we really enjoy. You seem to really have a really grassroots understanding of a lot of the things that you enjoy. So I think it'd be very,
That's very kind of you, Dean. And I'll have to check with the powers that be because I'm normally not allowed to speak unless I'm spoken to first. We'll if you truly want me to do that, I'm more than happy to.
Maybe this is what I'll do. We could pitch it like this. I'm a sucker for traveling, but I'm also a sucker for hearing Easton talk about the things he's a sucker for. So it could be like my second segment.
You're so sweet. All right. Well, we will make that happen. If you want to hear me ramble by myself for 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes about the new Fast and Furious roller coaster, I can do that. That's something I'm happy to do.
All right. Well, sorry.
So what is the best theme park in the world that you've ever obviously experienced?
I'm very poorly traveled, Jared. I've never crossed an ocean. There's a lot of incredible theme parks overseas from what I hear. But
what's the best theme park in the United States?
I mean, I think it's got to be Disneyland. I think
so. It's
Disneyland.
Have you been to Disney World?
I've never been to Disney World, but Disneyland has the magic of Walt Disney. He walked through that park. His DNA is all over the place, literally and figuratively. And I think that Rise of the Resistance is the best theme park ride in North America, and that ride is at Disneyland and Florida, but it's at Disneyland too.
What about, have you been to Cedar Point?
I've not been to Cedar Point.
Okay.
I'm familiar with its game, but I've not been to Cedar Point.
Familiar with its game. Okay.
Well, it's so interesting that you say that your biggest vice is theme parks. If you've never been, I feel like you should travel. You should like be the guy traveling to different theme parks and really giving these things ratings. Like, I would love to know your opinion about the differences between Disney World and Disneyland. Now, Disneyland is separated into two parks, correct? Isn't it like Adventureland?
It's Disneyland and California Adventure.
Disneyland and California Adventure. And so, and then Disney World is obviously four different parks. You have Epcot, Magic Kingdom, MGM, and Animal Kingdom.
I'm just giggling at people who come to this podcast because they're fans of The Bachelor, and then they hear some guy they've never heard of talking about the geography of Central Florida.
Hard disagree.
You know what I've learned, though? People who love Bachelor love Disney.
That's true.
You want to know what I've learned, too, is people that listen to this podcast or any of our, like Becca's podcast, all that, love you and Mark with a burning passion. And rightfully so. It's very deserved. Don't get me wrong. But they're upset. Every time you guys come on and then I see like people comment about the podcast, I was like, I love Easton talking about this or that. So don't.
Oh my God, I'm blushing. I'm blushing. Yeah. Please stop.
And another thing too, on that, in that regard, like if Jared and I were to go to a theme park and review it or like compare Disney World to Disneyland, we would talk for 5 minutes. You could write, I feel like, a 500 page thesis about the differences and why you prefer one over the other or vice versa, you know?
You know what? You know what I did one time? If there's internet sleuths that can find, it's buried deep in the internet, but one time I did a full commentary to the movie The Mask, the Jim Carrey movie The Mask. And I recorded a whole, if you press play when the movie starts, it's just me doing commentary during the movie.
Why The Mask specifically?
I just like that movie a lot. I have a lot to say about it.
I have a lot to say about it. This is kind of a deep cut, but there's an Office episode where they go to Gabe's house and he finds like his synth piano or something like that. And someone asks him what kind of music he plays. And he goes, I like to take a moment in time and expand it out to be the size of the universe. And that just reminds me of Easton for some reason. I feel like he could do that with just about anything that he's passionate about.
I am a man of passion and I have a lot of passion to give. So thank you for recognizing that, Dean.
Yeah. Well, Easton, thanks for joining us. I'm sorry to bring you into this. I just had some.
I don't want him to stop. I want to talk about Disney because, like, I think you're underestimating my love for Disney and movies as well. Like, I feel like I could talk to Easton all day and night about these things. So, like, all right, Easton, do you think that Disneyland is a good destination theme park for a date? Like, if you wanted a date night.
I do. And we'll bring this back to the original thesis of this podcast of relationships. I think it's a great idea for a date, especially early on, because there are a lot of trials that one has to endure with a day at a theme park, specifically Disneyland. There's time management. There's planning. There's endurance, physical and mental. You're going to be waiting in long lines. You're going to be walking a lot. You're going to be spending a lot of money. I think you discover a lot about a person by taking them to a theme park. Also what they're into. Like, does this person want to get a cocktail that has neon blue? Or do they want to, like, go on a ride? Do they want to meet a character? There's a lot of things you can learn about somebody by going to Disneyland. So I think it's a great idea. It's an expensive date, but I think it's a great idea.
But do you think that the stress of theme parks would be good? So I feel like if you're going to go to a theme park together as a date, I don't think you should do it early on. You think the stress is good? Because, like, for example, if I went to a theme park with someone I was dating early on, I think that they would not like me. One, because as much as my enthusiasm is probably contagious while being at Disney, it's probably also extremely annoying. And then furthermore, because my enthusiasm is so high while I'm at a theme park, like the idea of being like, okay, well, we're going to do enter at this time, and then we're going to book the fast pass here, but then we're going to get in line here. And like everything is scheduled, that I don't know if I would necessarily have fun with a date, because they would probably just be annoyed at me by the end of the day.
But that's you at your truest form.
Right.
And I think it's best to show people that as early as possible.
I fully agree with what you're
saying.
You're
a beautiful person.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more.
And everyone's going to fall in love with it.
I never want anybody to see that side of me until we're locked in.
Until the like second Ashley baby's knows. On the way. That's when Jared's willing to go to a theme park with you and show you his true side.
I mean, I understand that. Like, there are definitely things that I waited until my wife signed a contract that she wouldn't leave me that I showed her, you know, like, oh, if you have to find a judge and an attorney if you want to leave me now. But I stand by what I said. I think that it's good, not just on a theme park, but I think it's good to show people who you are early on. This whole, like, everyone always says, like, you want the best version of yourself on the first couple of dates. No, I say give him the worst version of you. It'd be terrible.
That's what Dean did.
I mean, I fully agree with what Easton is saying. I think that if you can just show your worst sides of you right out of the gates, if they stick around, they're probably worth keeping around. And if they don't stick around, they weren't the person for you anyways.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to hear Kaylin's point of view on this. Do you think that you should be fully transparent, like from day one, first date on? And of course, transparent, be honesty, but I mean, like, I guess my mind goes in disgusting places, but Kaylin, I want to hear your opinion.
I think it's hard to do that, but if you can, yeah. Like, I think everyone automatically puts on their best face, and it takes a minute to, like, shed those layers and feel fully comfortable. You know, Dean is an enigma and can just kind of show his full true self to anyone at any time. But I think most people, it takes a minute to feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's the exhibitionist in me. I just like to show all my colors.
No, no, not nudity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah, let's not commit any crimes here, but, but, you know, I think it is good to bare your soul.
They should do like a nudist day at Disneyland.
Huh, why?
I don't know. I just thought it'd be interesting, you know, a bunch of, like, obviously adults only kind of day out there, and you know what you're signing up for, but just let the exhibitionist go out to Disneyland and go
feel the wind everywhere.
I don't know.
I like the energy, but I think that conflicts with their mission statement.
Easton, you know for a fact you would be first in line if they did that.
Of course, I mean, I like any big swing when it comes to a themed day. I'm there, but.
And there'd be like a real big swing if you were there on the nudist day. Yeah,
talking about walking in naked into Disney.
I don't want there to be a headline now that I want to walk naked around Disneyland. That's not something I want to do. I like having my clothes on at Disneyland. That's where I have the most fun.
Yeah, some of them might get caught and something bad might happen if that were the case, but. Well, those are my two burning questions. I wanted to know what game show Jared would be on, and I wanted to know what Easton was a sucker for. So now I'm fulfilled. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh. Well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, what else is going on in our lives? We just got back from Italy.
We did, which we need to talk about. We also need to talk about The Bachelor. I finished 5 minutes before we started, and I have so many thoughts about it.
Yes, and we'll get into Italy on Been There, Dean That, so we can just save that for that episode.
And it wasn't, like, spectacular.
Hey, come on.
Oh, my gosh, it was spectacular.
Thank you. You have to tune in for that episode. Let's talk about Bachelor. So we watched Bachelor. Well, Kaylin and I watched it separately, but the finale happened this week. Joey, spoiler alert, if you don't want spoilers, turn the podcast off now. I've warned you. Don't get mad at us. I understand some people will wait to watch. Kelsey and the winner was Kelsey. Yes, the winner was Kelsey. Jared, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. It was a good finale.
I have to say, best finale I've ever seen from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It was great. I fast forwarded through like the family visits and all the dates. I just waited for every like live interaction. But
I thought it was the best finale I've ever seen, but the ending was just a little weird. It's like, and is our next bachelorette Daisy? Let's bring Daisy out. No, actually it's not. Is our next batch?
Let's get to that in a second.
Yeah. Because
I think we need to build up to that first. So we saw Joey pick Kelsey. We saw, we saw Daisy say, hey, I know you're not going to pick me. I'm out of here. Power move.
Yes.
How do we feel about that?
Okay. I have to fast forward and everyone's seen it. So this is what I'm so mad about. I finished it 30 minutes ago. How is Daisy not the bachelorette? And maybe it seems like she turned it down and she wasn't ready, but she is the most likable character we have ever had on this show. I'm certain of it. Hmm. Like such a power move.
What about you?
Such a power move to go and go to Kelsey and just like fill her in and make her feel comfortable and confident going into the proposal, making Joey feel comfortable. He's like, she's like, you don't have to break up with me. I'm going to leave. Like, I know it's not me and I hope you're happy is incredible.
Mm. Also, the intuition on Daisy's part is pretty impressive. She could feel Joey kind of pulling away on their date. And then she had like, give credit to the girls here, because if they weren't so close and such good friends, Daisy never would have felt comfortable enough to go to Kelsey, knowing that Kelsey would have been receiving of her being there in the first place. So their friendship, I think, is top notch. And then for Daisy to have the intuition or the feeling to ask Kelsey about it, like he wasn't really giving me the affirmations that I was needing. And Kelsey being honest with Daisy about all that stuff. Like it was Daisy, obviously, at the end of the day, doing that thing with Joey, like taking that plunge and saying what she said. But everyone, specifically Kelsey and Daisy, are also to be given credit because they have such a good friendship. Daisy knew that she's comfortable talking to Kelsey about that. So I think they all deserve a lot of credit there.
For sure. Yeah. I think they're both amazing.
Yeah. It was crazy. I'm trying to think if I was in that position as like the final two, and I knew like on my season, Brian won that season. If it was me and Brian, I don't think in a million years I could go to Brian's room and be like, hey, man, how was your last date?
You don't.
I don't think I could have, no.
Oh, wow.
Probably just because like the competition thing probably would have gotten the best of me. And Brian and I weren't super good friends on the season. Not that we were bad on bad terms
or
anything.
What if it was Peter?
Yeah, if it was Peter, I probably could see myself doing it. But it wasn't, so.
Would you be able to, Jared?
No, nor would I want to. I am just an old cynical man. That's all I am. So watching this, I was like, I get it. It's not, I love the franchise. I love The Bachelor so much, but it was just like they were holding hands together. And I was doing a watch party at Audrey's, and when Kelsey and Daisy hugged, everybody clapped. And I'm like, oh, shut up. Like, God, this is so ridiculous. What if Daisy was wrong? I get it. She had an intuition.
What if she was wrong? Yeah.
What if she was wrong? Joey was like, no, I was going to pick you.
Now it's really awkward.
Now it's super awkward. And I just don't get why you would go so far. I mean, listen, good for her. She got it right. I'm not like hating on Daisy. I agree. I think Daisy should be bachelorette. But I'm assuming that she said no to it because with all the love in my heart for Jen, you know, Jen is beautiful. She seems very nice. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of like, I mean, I think the season's, we'll see. Like, we'll see how I don't think it's going to do well. I mean, it feels like you had two women in Daisy and Maria that people were like 100% behind. It was like, this is must see TV if one of these people are the bachelorette. And then they were like, all right, we know that like you've been pining for Maria or Daisy and it's going to be Jen. And then everybody's like, oh. Okay, and I feel like I don't want Jen to get any hate. Jen deserves no hate for this. But it would be honestly, it's just like, oh, all right. I just feel like a lot of people aren't going to watch now. Not because they don't love Jen, but they're just like, the whole reason you pick someone from the previous season is because you're like, you're invested in their story. And like you said, so many people are invested in Daisy and invested in Maria. And it's like, oh man, like I want to see these people on my TV screen again.
They didn't show a second of Jen's personality on the season. So it's like they kind of shot themselves in the foot. But I saw on TikTok that this girl DM'd another contestant. I can't remember her name. And she's like, I wanted it to be you or Maria. I'm so disappointed. And the girl DM'd her back and she said, Maria turned it down. Mm. So if this is true, then Maria and potentially Daisy both turned it down, which is an odd choice. And I don't think we've seen that.
Mm.
And I don't know why they would.
I don't know why they would either.
If I was Daisy and Maria, or Maria, not both of them, obviously, and you get off the show with, you know, you're at the height of your popularity, you have the pick of the whole world, or you have 30 guys that ABC chooses for you, I think that maybe that's their motive.
Maybe.
Like, come on. You're going to tell me that there isn't like some grade A catch sliding into Daisy's DMs right now that she wouldn't have met if she became the Bachelorette?
Maybe. And yeah, but it's also hard to turn down like $100,000, $150,000.
Well, that's just the upfront that you get paid too. It's,
right,
you know,
right. And then potentially dancing with the stars and all this stuff. Yeah. Like it's hard to turn. I don't know. It's weird.
I could see Daisy on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh yeah. I like that.
I don't think that they turned it down, if Daisy and Maria turned it down, because they were hopeful about the men they would meet outside of the show.
Hmm.
I really don't believe that. I don't think that they turned it down because they were like, I can only choose 30 men when I can choose from 4 billion men if I don't go on the show.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it's much more about the contract, the money, because let's be honest, now that the show kind of pumped itself back up and these contestants are getting followings, you know, like there's money on the table right now that they would have to say no to if they signed a contract with ABC.
And, you know, ABC doesn't care about that stuff, too. They have three people. Let's say in this case, it was Daisy, Maria and Jen. They're offering them all probably the same amount. I want to say $80,000 to $100,000 is just a guess. They don't care. Like, it's all the same to them. At the end of the day, their story is going to be the same. They've got an incredible woman that they're going to be able to, you know, show around with 30 guys. Maria, Daisy, or Jen, it doesn't really make that much of a difference to the show. From a fan standpoint, yes, obviously we want Daisy or Maria just because they made us the biggest impact. But from the show standpoint, they're like, well, we just want a beautiful girl here to be the Bachelorette for us. And the storylines are going to be, you know, the same enough to a certain degree to not really have that much of an impact on it.
So I just checked. Maria's at 500,000 or 600,000. Daisy's at 700,000. I wonder too if they got managers and their managers were like, you guys are so loved right now and you're going to be in a contract for another year and a half. Like maybe that's it too. Like maybe they signed with, you don't think so?
I don't think so, but possibly. I mean, you know, you probably know better than I would.
I don't know. I don't know. But also for them, if they were to get off the show, realize they have all this love and have the hindsight to be like, if I were the lead, it could go a different way and I wouldn't be as loved. Foresight. Thank you. Foresight, not hindsight. That's incredible because I know on previous seasons, people were so, so loved.
They're like, I'll do anything to be the Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yeah. But like even you were so loved and you went on Paradise and things didn't go great.
Thank you.
But they eventually did. And there are other characters who go on Paradise and then it's like you kind of shot yourself in the foot by going on this show because people loved you so much.
It's hard to have foresight like that when you're being thrown $100,000 your way. So if that is the case, props to them. Because when we've talked about this on the podcast before, when they came to me to be the Bachelor, probably just as a backup plan, I called my brothers. I was like, hey, I don't think I should do this, but like, what do you guys think? And they're like, you'd be so stupid to turn this down. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I'll do it. And then obviously it didn't end up happening that way. But my foresight was I just saw the dollar signs and I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Oh, it's so hard to turn down. Yeah. And then also the fame and the potential shows after and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then your husband,
the husband is like,
oh yeah, they get married. They're supposed to get married. I totally forgot about that.
I think that's very far down the line. Also, I do feel bad for Jen because it feels like she's just third choice.
No,
I know. But like if people are coming out and saying that they said no to the position, then it's like, it doesn't probably can't feel great for
her position.
I don't think
you can put much stock into the fact that people are saying that Daisy and Maria both said no to the show.
But I do think that Jen is so insanely beautiful. I am super bummed that we didn't get to see her personality at all on the show. Like I felt like we got to see her here and there, but you know, the stars of the show were Maria and Daisy.
Mm. And Joey and Kelsey.
And Joey and Kelsey.
I do put stock in that Daisy and Maria said no. Maria, I don't know, but it just I mean, the show itself made it very clear that Daisy said no by bringing her out and saying that I'm not ready to find love. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was ABC making it known to the entire audience that Daisy said no, that Daisy didn't want to be a bachelorette. So like at best, Jen was second place in terms of like choosing.
But let's say this, like, you know, for using my season as a reference, Peter kind of did the same thing. He's like, I don't think this timeline is realistic for me to get engaged to someone. And I do know that there were, I mean, I guess I don't know, but just through the, you know, through the grapevine that I heard was that he was in talks to be the bachelor, but it ended up not happening. And I think one of the reasons it didn't happen was because the show had just kind of not exposed, but like put on this platform that he wasn't willing to work on the timeline of the show. And so it's kind of the same situation with Daisy. If she can't, you know, find love with Joey at the end of the show and she's still searching for love, maybe the format for, maybe like if they made her the bachelorette, Daisy, then it would be them like kind of admitting that they're just like forcing it instead of giving her the timeline that she needs to get.
Well, no, because she was like, I'm not ready. Like, I'm finally in a good place in my life. Like, I want to focus on myself and my family and my friends.
Maybe she was just saying that because she didn't get offered the role.
That's what I'm thinking with both her and Maria. I'm like, are you guys saying this because you didn't get offered it or you both turned it down?
Right.
I would give stock to that if she said it on her Instagram. ABC brought her out right before they announced Jen as the Bachelorette. They said, hey, we know that you are waiting to for the announcement of the Bachelorette. Before we do that, literally seconds before Jen came out, they were like, hey, Daisy, come on out for a second. And then it was like, okay, so they're asking Daisy if she's ready to find love, if she thinks she can find it in this environment. And she just said no, that she didn't want to or she can't. Regardless, I don't think it wasn't like it to me that Daisy was trying to overcompensate for the fact, like, no, I didn't want it. I didn't want it. Like, if somebody posted that on their Instagram, it was like, or like answered a question, like, yeah, they offered it to me, but I said no. I'm like, okay, whatever, buddy.
Yeah.
But the fact that ABC was like, Daisy, come on out here, talk to Jesse. And then you, Daisy, are going to help Jesse announce Jen as the Bachelorette. My only imagination, the reason they did that was because they knew that everybody wanted Daisy to be the Bachelorette, or they knew that everybody would want Daisy as the Bachelorette as soon as they saw the finale. So they were like, okay, well, Daisy said no. So Daisy, are you okay coming out?
Yeah.
So people know that we wanted it to be you, but you said no.
Right.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't wait for them to come to iHeart events and get to pick their brain. I'm so excited.
Learn all their secrets.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if they were like, now that Daisy's down here, Daisy, do you want to call Maria down here? They bring Maria down. Hey, Maria, is there anything you want to tell us? No, not really, Jesse. Should we announce the next Bachelorette?
I can't imagine Maria said no, though.
I know. That one feels weird to me.
I can't imagine that.
It really does.
That makes me feel like they didn't want her.
It probably would have been hard for them to get like a visa for Maria, you know, because she's Canadian.
But Caitlin Bristow got one.
Yeah, but visas are hard to get these days. Maybe they're saving Maria for the Canadian Bachelorette.
No chance.
No, I know. You're right.
I don't think that's the
case. I'm excited for Jen. I think she's great. She's not my type personally, but I'm sure she's going to find a lot of guys that are interested in her.
She is exactly Dean's type.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, she's not. The only person that's my type is sitting right across from me right now.
That's right. That's right. Don't ever forget it. I feel bad for Jen because, you know, unfortunately, what comes with the role of being the lead is, well, 90% of it is incredible, right? Where it's this, you get so much love and you have this opportunity and it's amazing. But of course, there's going to be 10%. We're not even like people are saying mean things about you, but they're just talking factually about the show where it's like clearly Daisy said no. So yes, unfortunately, Jen, it seems like you were ABC or NZK's second choice, which is okay.
I don't think Jen cares even a little bit.
I hope not.
If they, again, I can only bring
because
back
that's
to
not
my,
Jen's fault.
It's right. Not.
And that doesn't mean that Jen isn't incredible because she is like, if it like looking at Jen and then I honestly don't know anything about her. So like, I'm sure she has a great personality, but obviously like looking at Jen, you're like, yeah, she's beautiful. There are going to be thousands of men pining after her, let alone 30.
I don't know. I can only speak from my experience. If they did end up picking me at the end of the day for Bachelor, and they even told me explicitly, they're like, yeah, we were going to have Ari be the Bachelor, but he said no. And then we were going to ask Peter, but he said no. And so now you're the Bachelor. I would still be like, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'll take third.
I'm sure it stings just to hear what people are saying and people be like the huge Daisy and Maria fans just be disappointed that it's not them. But I just want to say that hopefully the producers and whoever's by her side are in her ear just to let her know this happens every single season. People are always disappointed because people have different fan bases. And in a week, people are going to forget about it. They're going to watch her season. They're going to fall in love with her. So it's going
to
pass.
I disagree again, bringing it back to my experience.
Bringing it back to me.
If I became Bachelor and I saw every comment on every Instagram post or whatever saying, I wish Peter was the Bachelor. Dean doesn't deserve it. It should have been Peter. I would have been like, yeah.
Commented me too.
I'd have been like, I agree. Peter definitely should have been the Bachelor. But he's not. Bitch, I'm the Bachelor. I am the Bachelor. I agree Peter would have been a better choice, but you got me, so you're stuck with me.
Well, you also are a rare breed of human.
But, you know, give Jen some credit. She's the first Asian American Bachelorette or not that she's Bachelor, but the first lead, I guess we could say. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty awesome for her. I don't want to take, like, I feel like even talking about it is kind of taking her shine away a little bit.
No, but that's what I'm saying. This happens every single season.
Yeah.
Like, people are always disappointed by the choice in some capacity.
Were we upset about Joey being chosen? I think we could probably, I mean, not us personally, but like us as a group collective.
I'm sure there were people that were mad that other people weren't chosen. But I'm just saying, like, people are going to be so obsessed with her. She is so stunning. And I've seen, like, little quirks here and there on her announcement and her little, like, funny things that she did on the season. So I'm excited to see her personality more. And she's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's not taking away her shine.
No, I know. But do you see where I'm coming from when I say
totally.
That? Totally. Yeah, totally. I don't know. I think she's going to be great. Like I said, I don't even think she gives a... I mean, I guess I'm saying that because I wouldn't. I don't think she cares that people think it should have been Maria or Daisy.
If it were me and I was chosen and they're like, we asked Hannah Brown, she said no. We asked Hannah Godwin, she said no. We asked Tayshia, she said no.
You'd be like, what the hell do they know that I don't know?
I'd be like, wait, should I say no too?
Be part of the cool girls clique?
Yeah.
No, yeah, but you would still be so happy you said yes at the end of the day.
That makes me feel good. But then everyone coming out and saying they said no, now everyone knows. Like, I would feel weird.
I mean.
But I would still be excited, obviously.
The thing too is like if Daisy and Maria didn't say no, like if they just simply weren't asked or they were the backup plans, then it's so messed up that people are putting this narrative out there that they did say no, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, cause they're explicitly trying to dull the shine of Jen a little bit. If they're lying about that or making it up and saying that they said no, but they really didn't. And they're just kind of pulling that out of their ass.
Also, there's a chance that like, cause they interview 3 to 4 to 5 people. There's a chance that they were interviewed and they were just like, I don't want it. There's a chance that they were never actually offered it.
Right. Or offered it. But to Jared's point, like Daisy could have asked for like, you know, $300,000 or something like that.
True.
Like Tyler Cameron, for instance, I think didn't he ask for some exorbitant amount of money?
Or $1 million?
And they chose Peter and Peter was great.
Peter's season was great.
That's a prime example. Like everyone wanted Tyler. We were given Peter. Peter was still entertaining and so much fun to watch as The Bachelor.
Everyone wanted Hannah Godwin on our season and they got Hannah Brown and she was like the highest rating Bachelorette ever.
There you go. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Jen's going to be great.
That's a good point. Yeah. Everyone wanted either you or Hannah G, right?
Not really me. Hannah G.
Come on. Either you or Hannah G.
Hannah
G. And we got stuck with Hannah Brown, and Hannah Brown's season was one of the most, you know, interesting watches.
I think I guess in this day and age.
Who is second on your season?
Hannah G.
And then Tayshia G.
And you were third? Oh, Tayshia.
Cassie, I was fourth. I got dumped after they met my family.
Cassie. Mm-hmm. And then Tayshia was third.
Yep. But he kind of like dumped everyone at once. So who's to say who's second and third?
Yeah. But it's interesting. Yeah, I guess all that to say the producers know what they're doing. We can question it. Obviously, that's kind of what we're here for. But they obviously have a system in place that's been working for them. They somehow revitalized a franchise that seemed like it was dead to rights.
Oh, I thought it was for sure dead. Mm-hmm. This is the best season I've seen in a while. And I keep saying it, the best finale I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Jared disagrees, but I liked the cheese.
No. I don't disagree. I am also the wrong person to ask because I love the franchise so much, but I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't watch a lot of reality TV. So I haven't, like, I don't religiously watch every episode. So the idea that I'm going to be the one to tell you what makes a good finale is not, like, I could tell you what makes a good play action, you know, call on 2nd and 7.
Yeah.
But what I cannot tell you is, you know, what makes a good finale in The Bachelor. I'm not that guy.
I think this is my favorite. And then after that, Peter's was so good. That was wild. He's engaged to Hannah Ann, and then he dumps her, which was heartbreaking. And Hannah Ann was so strong in that. Then he goes to Maddie, but then he ends up with Kelly, and the mom was a little nuts.
That's what I'm saying. We wouldn't have gotten that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was great. That was Peter finale. What other finales are really good?
Those are the only.
I mean, watching the finale this time, it was funny watching it, and then you get like clips in the bottom corner of like the crowd reaction. Because it kind of like it's like a laugh track. It's kind of telling you when there's a joke or like how to feel in certain ways. When they were shown in the SUV together going to the engagement and they like cut to the crowd and everyone's like, oh, I even kind of went, I was like, oh. And I didn't care at all, but I was still found myself reacting to this situation. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. But I was like, is it insane or am I just reacting the same way that these people are reacting? Right. You know, but no, it was good.
Well, it's kind of like a laugh track when I watch Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I laughing because it's really funny or am I laughing because I hear other people
laughing? Was that joke funny or am I just laughing because other people? Have you guys ever seen those Friends clips where they take the laugh track out of the show? It's so funny because
I'm sure it's so awkward.
They'll say these jokes that like aren't funny at all. They're like honestly kind of creepy and there's no laugh track and it just like makes it even worse. And they always like pause to wait for the laugh track to finish before they say the next line. So they'll say like a joke and then, you know, pause for 5 seconds and then like the next person will talk and it's pretty funny.
Huh.
But good job, Joey. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Also,
good job, Joey.
It's great to finally have a Bachelor that we don't hate at the end of the season.
Oh,
I don't think Zach was hated at the end of his season. I didn't watch too closely. Peter, obviously. Clayton, obviously. Colton.
Ari, kind of.
Ari, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I guess definitely. With hindsight, yeah, I mean, you could say
he's
that.
Fine now.
Yeah.
At the time.
But Joey just handled himself so well.
That's my boy. I could tell the second I met him, I was like, this guy, he's got a special quality to him. Yeah, so good job, Joey. Congratulations to Kelsey.
Do we think that they'll make it?
Yeah, I do.
Not that I don't think they'll make it, but like, I mean, guys, what are the, you know, the odds are they won't, but that doesn't mean that they, you know, I hope they make it. Like I'm rooting for them.
You're rooting for them.
They're very nice people.
My only question mark is Kelsey. I've never met Kelsey. I think Joey will Joey will do everything he can to make it work.
I think we can.
Yeah, Joey seems like a good
say
guy.
This now, but at the wedding, he was like so in love and like kept. I mean, they had to like restrain him from screaming from the rooftops. I'm engaged. Yeah. I'm engaged.
Aww,
like yeah, he just so seems sweet. from your perspective. I didn't talk to Joey that much. That he was so in love.
He was. Did you guys know that I was drunk at that wedding?
Nobody would have known.
yeah. But I'm excited to see what happens next for them. She seems really sweet. But like I said, I you know, it's hard to really make that distinction now because I've never
I hope
her.
They do make it. They do seem super in love. And I don't know. I feel like I was just so invested in the season. So now I'm invested in them as a couple. It's hard when she's so young, but
how old is she?
I feel like she's like 23.
You, but you have no idea.
No, I'm pretty sure she's 23, 24 maybe. But also I was 23 when I met you and
wow.
It can work.
You were 23 when you met Dean?
Yeah.
You were 23 for all of 3 days when we met each other.
Yeah. So I turned 24 when I met him.
Still 24.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Kelsey is 25.
25. Okay.
So she's a little older than you were.
Yeah.
You were 22 on your season of Bachelor.
23.
That's right. Just young girls, man. It's crazy. 23-year-olds.
Young girls, man.
I'm telling you, you got to give them credit because, that's young.
You got to give them credit.
They're getting engaged at 23, 24, 25. Snaps for those girls.
How old was I when we got engaged?
26, 7, 27?
I don't know.
We're not that young anymore, that's for sure. Ask my back. Nope. My back will tell you I'm 32 for sure.
Well, I'm excited for Jen's season. I'm excited that The Bachelor is finally good again.
Oh.
And it sucks. You know what sucks? It's finally good again. I'm invested in these characters for the first time in years, and there's no paradise.
Well, that's not confirmed yet, though.
It's not confirmed. Okay.
But it feels
confirmed.
Unlikely to happen this year.
What do you think the tagline for Jen's season is going to be? I think it's going to be, it's Gen X or something.
Oh, God.
Gen Z coming at you.
She's Gen Z, right?
Gen Z. I think so. She must be. I'm on the cusp. What is so anyone Gen younger X? Than me? Gen X is older than us.
Gen X is
it's Gen Z, millennial, and then Gen X is our parents.
Oh,
could
okay.
make that up. But
how
the hell did
boomers.
Millennial get in there? Oh, the millennium.
Yeah.
Aren't they like on to Gen Alpha now or something like that?
Oh yeah, Gen A now.
What is Dawson? Do you know?
Gen A.
Oh God, Dawson's Gen A. Gen A. That's crazy. So we just start all over again?
Yeah, wow.
It's not like Gen Double A.
It's kind of like with when they name storms, you know? They go A through Z and then they just go back to A. That's crazy.
I guess, yeah.
I'm looking it up right now real quick while we're on the, just while, you know, you guys are talking amongst yourselves, which you're not anymore. It is Gen Alpha. 2010s to mid 2020s.
2013 to 2025.
And then Gen Z, the Zoomers, and then Millennials, Gen Y, which is the same thing. Gen X was our parents. Baby Boomers were maybe probably our grandparents. And then the Silent Generation, which was before that.
Why were they silenced?
It's a really good question. I think maybe because they were born during the Great Depression.
Oh, sad.
And then the generation before that was the greatest generation.
Oh, I remember hearing
that.
That's
a little unfair to not be the greatest generation.
The greatest generation?
And then the generation before that was the lost generation. Why were they lost?
Silent and lost.
Yeah.
Silent.
Wait, what was the greatest generation?
1901 to 1927.
What makes them great?
Wasn't that the Great Depression? Wasn't that the Great Depression in the 20s?
Yeah, it was 1928, I think it was.
Oh, so that, which is right when the Silent Generation was, 1928 to 1945.
I always assumed that the greatest generation was called for during World War II. But I guess World War I would make sense as well.
Yeah, greatest
but
generation
feels
was born
like
during World War I.
The greatest generation in terms of like, you know, fighting for, you know, what we have now.
World War II was in the 40s, which was the Silent Generation or the Lost?
In the which one?
1940s.
That's weird.
That was the Silent Generation.
And that's World War II and the Great Depression?
That was like, 1928 to 1945.
Wow,
so the beginning of the Great Depression and the end of World War II.
That's a really sad generation.
Well, thankfully they were too young to realize it, but their parents must have been going through it.
And then their parents are the greatest?
And then their parents are the baby boomers. Oh. Or no, their parents were the greatest, right?
Okay, so that makes sense. They should be the greatest to go through that.
That's fair, but like, you know, we're naming Generation Alpha now. We have no idea what they're going to be going through in the 40s, 2040s, 2030s, whatever it is. So interesting. Very interesting. Generation Alpha, you're the future.
Gen A
is the future.
Gen A.
Gen Z.
Gen Dawson.
Gen Z is kind of the more immediate future. Dawson's not really going to be doing much until 20 years from now, but...
He doesn't do much as of right now, but he is freaking adorable.
He's really underperforming, dude. He should be solving some of the world's biggest issues, but...
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he's waiting for. He needs to really start working.
How's my boy doing? How's Dawson?
He's awesome. He's just like prime Dawson. It was tough for a while, but he... Talk about the highs being highs and the lows being lows, because he is just a joy to be around. He's always happy. He's just always talking. He's always in a good mood, and he's just like singing and dancing, and he's down. I'm like, Dust, you want to do this? He goes, yeah. Nice. I'm like, all right, cool. And it's just the best. I remember talking to Ari at Chris Harrison's wedding, and he was like, oh, it would be awesome if we could just fast forward to two. And, you know, he was just talking about being a dad and like, how tough it is when the baby, because obviously the mother has such an attachment because, you know, the baby grew inside of her. And he was like, it's cool once they get to two and they start talking, you get to like hang out with your kid. And I'm experiencing that now because now it's fun. Like we went to the mall on Saturday night, took pictures with the Easter Bunny. We got some Auntie Anne's. We walked around, got a toy for him. Like,
I love Auntie Anne's. He's just sitting there. The smell of those pretzels, every time I walk by one in the airport, no matter what time of day, I'm like, even if I'm stuffed from like a big dinner or something, I'm like, oh man, those pretzels, I could go for one of those right now.
Oh, the best. And he's just sitting next to me and he's eating a pretzel and he's just so happy. He's just laughing to himself because of how good that pretzel is. I'm like, oh, it's good stuff.
What do you think Joey's a sucker for? Tennis? Golf?
Kelsey. Joey's a sucker for Kelsey.
Do you think Kelsey's a sucker for Joey?
Yeah.
You do?
I don't know. She's probably indifferent.
They're in a tough time now. I guess it's probably been tougher up until now, but now that they're like public with their relationship, they're out of the show. It's easy to fall in love on that show, as we all know. Now they have to like face the real world and see how that all goes. But where are they going to live? Are they going to move to Los Angeles together?
Did you even watch the show? They're moving to New Orleans.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Who the heck wants to move to New Orleans?
I know. I heard that and I was like, I am shocked. And then they're going to try to move to New York in the summer.
Is she from New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But crazy that he would want to move there. I mean, personally, as someone who lived in the South, I don't want to go back. So I guess I'm the wrong one to talk to, but.
I've been to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras.
You probably saw a lot of things.
2010, Mardi Gras. I was there. I didn't see that many things. It was a fun place. I did some stuff besides the Mardi Gras stuff. I had some friends that went to University of Louisiana Monroe, which is like an hour south or some direction. And so we got to experience a little bit of like the what it would be like to live there, just exploring without the partying and stuff. And it was fun. I couldn't live there personally, but cool place.
New York is cooler in my opinion, but I'm excited to see where
they end up.
You
don't really hear of many young, hot couples moving to New Orleans.
New Orleans now, and then they said New York in the summer.
They'll be in New York before we know it.
Yeah.
They're going to be living in Los Angeles before the end of the year.
Nah, New York.
New York.
Yeah, same thing.
No, Joey's a warm weather guy.
Oh, how's he going to play tennis in New York?
Well, we played tennis in New York.
Yeah, they probably have indoor facilities.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, coaching much tennis in the near future.
Yeah, but he'll probably want to play.
Yeah, maybe. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of Suckers. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Jared, Kalen, Easton, Tara. Be sure to tune in next week where maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.